Hello. British Meg here on RTRFM, Jimbo and Tony. How you going, Tony?
Yeah, good. Good to see you again and good to be back on air with the listeners out there on 92.1 FM.
Yeah, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Great to have you on board yet again for another week. We were missing in action last week, as we might be next week. Well, Tony and I are going to Brisbane, and we'll tell you more about that, but welcome to British Meg. Stay, keep it locked. 92.1, a weekly show on good news items from First Nations people around around the country, mainly on Noongar country, Whadjuk country and Minang country down in Albany. So it's the weather's warmed up for us and it's looking, summer's coming with vengeance, so I hope you're looking after yourself, drinking plenty of water. Tony's got water, he always has water. He carries water with him every time, like a water bag.
It's always good for you.
Yes.
Cleansing.
Yes, and we won't talk about health, and but yeah, everyone's trying to look after themselves. And yeah, as I say, Tony and I are off to Brisbane, Meejin country over in Brisbane on Sunday. We're looking forward to visiting Sherberg Mission, one of the few missions around Australia that has a museum. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they operate in Queensland. Of course, there's a synergy between Queensland and WA, and you may have heard that already, but both states have not got a reparation compensation program for stolen generation peoples in this in their individual states. So we're going to go over to Brisbane to make a bit of noise. So we're carrying the RTR FM flag. Oh, sorry, I didn't approve that get that approved by Simon, the manager, but never mind, I'm sure he'll support me taking the RTR FM badge flag across to Brisbane. Hey, Simon. Yeah, and good to have Rob back mastering the board. We've got a U-Butte board that I'm looking at right now. It's a touch board. Can you believe it? There's no dials, there's no... I just can't believe that RTR is just advancing into the new world of technology and looking forward to getting on the other side of the panel and having a go. It might take me a long time to learn. What about you, Tony? You reckon, look at that, you can just work it out, eh?
I'm feeling lost already just by looking at it. But, no, it's great. You know, such a unique screen and really up-to-date stuff, isn't it?
It is. So I guess that's courtesy of our listeners. Thank you so much for supporting RTR FM and the work we do here. And thank you so much for our supporters who listen in to Murich Mag every week. I think we're up to about 175 podcasts now. So if you haven't heard of us before, please go to the RTR FM website, Murich Mag, and look into some of the podcasts. Dial up what you think might be important, including a conversation with Troy Cassadaly and others of really, I guess, fabulous people of First Nation world and how they come to being on our show. Pam Thorley will be a guest on the show later this morning and talking about Wadjimup. There's a big healing event on the 9th of November. I'd encourage our listeners to get on out to jump on a boat. No, I said that wrong. Don't jump on a boat. That has dreadful connotations. Get out of here. Get back on your boat. No, I don't mean that. Get onto the boat to Wadjimup. You might know it as Rottnest Island, and there's a bit of healing happening there on the 9th of November. Pam Thorley, a member of the Rottnest Islands Reference Group, will be yarning to us soon about what that event means a little later, 11th. In the second half of the show, Wayne Ryder's a guest. Wayne just returned from New Zealand, where he spoke at a international social emotional wellbeing conference there in Aotearoa. I guess that's how you say it, I think. Land of the White Cloud or something.
Mm.
Wayne will tell us more about that a little later in the show. Meantime, let's have a listen to Dan Salton. Is Kimberly calling? Welcome back. Yes, we heard then from Dan Salton.
Yes.
They call him the Corey Elvis. I don't know why, but perhaps he is quite a good singer. He does have some great music, though, and we're keen to play some more. Yeah. Tell us how you're feeling these days. We haven't heard from you for a while. Or maybe if we have, we're not getting the messages. 0405921921. 0405921921. Yeah, how are you feeling today with the weather warming up? And hope you're drinking plenty of water. In fact, I just walked out of the studio and got some cold water. So welcome to Murich Mag. How are you going there, Tonge?
Yeah, no, very good. Jim. It's really great, as I said earlier, back on air with our listeners, both here in the metropolitan Whadjuk country and Menang country, and also tomorrow back on Noongar Radio as well. But yeah, no, it's great to be back here. It's always really warming to be back into the environment and the family of the RTR FM family here today.
Yeah, very good. Let's go to a song, because I think our next guest is waiting. Yeah, let's go to a song. Marindas took over from Sapphires. No, they didn't. Sapphires had a big movie in town, and the Marindas were formed, and the rest is their oyster, really. They've been doing really well, Marindas. I Need You. Pam, you've been listening to Marindas. How are you, bub?
I'm good, thanks, Jim. Yeah, they're solid, eh?
Yeah, that's a couple of years old, and their early stuff was, as I said, they formed when Sapphires premiered here at the I think the Paris Cinema, the cinema in James Street, Northbridge, and these young ladies came out with what do you call the hair, the beehives or something?
Oh yeah.
So welcome, Pam Thorley. Say hello to Tonji, my co-host.
Hi, Tonji.
How are you, Pam? Great to have you on the radio today. Pam, who's your mob? Where are you from?
Tonji, that's a good question. No. My mob are Menang mob, so Great Southern. And also my grandfather's country is around Kalabaran. He's born in Kalabaran, so Bolodong mob.
Wow. Pam, you're the chosen one to talk about Wadjimup Power. And now I know you've been on the reference group there for some time. You've starred in a number of videos, but now you're starring on Mudich Mag RTR FM Radio. So welcome to Mudich Mag. That's repeated on Noongar Radio and also Menang Country RTR FM in Albany. So, yeah, so that's your country too, as well as ours. We've all got connection back to Menang, eh?
Yeah, we do. We do. So shout out to the mob down there.
So I'm not sure to be excited or how to feel about the healing event at Wadjimup. Tell us about how it came about.
Yeah, it's an interesting... It's been a really, really challenging journey, Jim, I must say. So I've been with the... I remember back in the days when I worked for the Aboriginal Sites Department. And when all the stuff, this skeletal material was uncovered and then hidden, then, you know, exposed in the media. So I've been on this journey since then. I've watched it. I've seen my mother, Judy Jackson, and all that other mob, you know, Ming Lee, Happy Isaacs, all of them doing all the hard yards and the hard work. So we're walking in their footsteps at the moment. You know, they're the ones who made this... something that we need to actually address and acknowledge as part of our reconciliation and as part of our healing journey. So with the Wadjimup Aboriginal Reference Group, I've been with them since they began in 2017. And I've been chairing it for a number of years now. And we've been providing, you know, sometimes frank advice to the Silent Authority and the WA government about what they should do and how they should start to Aboriginal people, particularly descendants and ancestors of people, of our men and boys that are buried.
So just remind our listeners the history, from what I can gather, 1836 to 1904 was the when incarceration of our men and boys started, but it lingered for a bit longer, and it became a prison for Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. So from about 34 to 1906, it was a place of incarceration for Aboriginal people across Western Australia. And then, you know, during the war, it became a bit of an internment camp. Then there was young boys imprisoned on the island. So not imprisoned, but in the on the island for training, retraining. And everyone continued to be there to continue to do a lot of the hard labour, work. Salt mill there, they had more buildings going up. I think what people have got to recognise too is that all those buildings, like the jail, the quad, the museum, all those limestone buildings, even the big limestone wall at North Thompson was all built by Aboriginal prisoners.
Oh, that's a quick one then. Well, limestone, was that mined on the island or did that come from the mainland?
From my understanding, it came from the island.
Right, right. And numbers of our people that were incarcerated, we know that there's a very big a burial site, but what sort of numbers should our listeners know about it? I mean, it obviously made a big impact on our communities from Whadjuk right through to the Kimberley, eh? So what numbers are we talking here, Pam?
I think conservative estimate is just over 4,000.
Right.
But, you know, there is some, you know, debate at the moment about records being burnt, records being lost, and just was that a true and correct number? And I think if you, you know, I think it was more than 4,000. It just, you know, it's a gut feeling for me. But, you know, I think there was more men and boys taken to the island than an estimated 4,000.
So, Pam, when we talk about men and boys being taken to the island, and I had the pleasure of narrating the latest video production with the Black Russian media, and so it actually started, the removal, if you like, of men and boys started on Whadjuk country first.
Yes, correct.
And then as the communities or the early settlers spread their wings further north, that's when it then impacted on various other tribal groups or Yamaji going further north. So that's really the guts of it, isn't it? As the colonies grew, it impacted on our men and boys.
That's correct. So, it was Noongar people first who were imprisoned and incarcerated on the island. And, you know, that's what, you know, including our country, Jim, down in the Great Southern across
right.
The Esplanade.
Yep.
All the first kind of prisoners on the island. And then, yeah, as you said, with colonisation and progression up the, up to the top of WA, more of our leaders and warriors and men were taken.
And I guess the philosophy for the settlers was get rid of the men and boys so we can take over country. Yeah, is that what's happened?
Oh, absolutely. That was a deliberate attempt to remove our leaders and our warriors and, you know, the ones who were our protectors. And if we took them away, then the women were left with vulnerable women and children who couldn't defend themselves. And they could easily colonise without too much resistance.
Yeah, and I guess there was, you know, vulnerable women and girls were left unprotected. So we can imagine what happened then. And oh wow! So the event then on the 9th of November. Tell us a little about that. I guess people then will be. You know, getting on the ferries quite early and returning later in the day. Give us a bit of an idea of the program of the day.
Okay. So, yeah, so just before that day, from the 4th to the from the 4th of November, the ceremonies will commence. There'll be private ceremony or healing taking place on the island, and also at Wallulup. So we'll have men's business on the island and women's business down at, around Wallulup, around Bathers Beach. And it's the ceremony or the actual project is titled Whadjuk Wirrumbidi, so Spirit Trail. We hope that that people have an opportunity to come and do their healing before we all culminate on the island on the 9th of November, Saturday, to where about 2,000 people we hope will be present, and on the 9th will be the commemoration ceremony, there's over 400 invited guests coming, and we hope that majority of people on the island will be Aboriginal, so we hope it's at least a 60-40% ratio.
Right, okay.
And this is a significant act of reconciliation and particularly acknowledgement of the dark black history of the island, and that, you know, hopefully with the Premier attending, that the state government might stand up, step up, and apologise to us all across the state.
It's a bit like an RSL. It's a bit like Anzac, isn't it? It's like it's something that we should commemorate every week. We do that, and just last week or the last little while, we've commemorated the anniversary of the Binjarab massacre. I mean, they call it all sorts of other things, but a massacre. So, yeah, back to Wadjimup. I'm not sure whether I can attend that day. I've got a eerie feeling about being there, and I guess that's going to impact on a lot of people. So thank you for your bravery and being around for this period of time. So what events will happen or occur on Wadjimup that you can tell us about?
Well, there'll be the main event, obviously, from 10 to 11:30 will be the official proceedings, and then there will be lots of opportunities for people to interact with local Noongar people who will be on the island, but also other cultural groups. I think it's time when Noongar and the rest of the cultural box that we've got across our state will come together as one. And yeah, I'm not quite sure if there's going to be activities, for people to participate in while they wait for the ferries to leave the island. There will be the opportunity for people to, or healing to occur. So there will be safe cultural spaces and healing spaces for people to be able to go and,
Right. So we're encouraging our listeners, whether they're on Wadjuk or Minang country, to participate. I know there's a bit of a travel from the Minang country, but we are encouraging our brothers and sisters from around the state to recognise this opportunity to commemorate and heal the island. And who knows, there may be an apology. There's never been an apology, I guess. Is that why we're sort of thinking that the Premier might sort of step up to the plate?
There has been an apology by the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs.
Right.
And that's done at the launch of the Innovate during Reconciliation Week a couple of years ago. And the Minister did apologise, but we are wanting an apology from the state government, basically, from the Premier.
Right.
From the top.
I'd see, Pam, also that you've got some activities happening there on the day and looking at truth-telling from traditional owners and elders. I think that'll be a really good discussion, and I hope people come with an open heart and, soak up the information and learn a little bit more about the truth, because truth-telling needs to be shared and needs to be told in our communities and, I guess, right across our state and also our country, because without the truth we cannot heal, and it's around truth, justice and healing, and that's sort of what we stand for in the work that we do. So I think that's a really good activity, and I'd encourage all those that are travelling over to the island on the day to participate and engage in that sort of stuff and learn more and come with an open heart.
That's for sure.
I just wanted to say, in terms of all the Wadjalas coming to the island, that it's about truth-telling is really, really important, but truth-listening.
Pam, it's, before you go, I ran into a Pilbara man a couple of weeks back who said to me that one of the East Countrymen swam back from Wadjimup and walked home to the Pilbara. Are you hearing those sorts of stories?
Absolutely, yeah. We only know that, the records will only show that only a couple, escaped from the island, but I'm sure there were more.
Yeah, brave people who swim that distance. And, of course, the island was connected to mainland in years gone by. So, Pam, wish you well. Can you let your team know that the RTRFM staff and management are very much supportive of the work you're doing? And otherwise they wouldn't have me here. Murich Mag is a positive story, and we're really pleased that you could take some time, Pam. Thank you very much for your time today, Pam.
You all take care.
Okay.
Thank you, Pam.
Bye. Mangia, Mangia. Story about the country being taken. And we know all about that, don't we? Country being taken, children being taken, the whole world taken from us. Freedom. And our guest today is Wayne Ryder. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Conk. How are you going?
Good, good. You know, it's good to have you back on the show, and Tony's dying to say hello to you.
G'day, Wayne. How are you, brother?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, very good, brother. Good to have you on the radio. I guess for our listeners, who's your mob and where you from?
My mob's Ballardong Ewart, mob from Northern Way. I also have connections with Wadjuk, and also Yamaji mob on my grandmother's side. So originally from Northern, in the wheat belt, born there. But yeah, now living down here in Perth, and have been for the last 20 or so years.
Tom, I had the pleasure of catching up with Wayne last night when my niece Marissa Verma spoke about her challenges and getting back into the real world. Oh, I don't think there was a dry eye there last night at the Reconciliation WA event. Was there, Wayne? It was what a brave woman.
Yeah, definitely. Such an inspirational story. From Marissa. Yeah, it was great to see her there at the event, and also yourself, Mark. So
good.
It's good to see our mob getting together and, you know, actually, doing stuff like that, like we are with our businesses.
So a big shout out to all those business people, including my family that were there supporting our niece Marissa Verma, and the products that were being sold, including your little business, your little family, and your little dog, your little puppy. I mean, that stole the show. Though you didn't need to sell anything, your little puppy stole the show. So Wayne, welcome to Moorish Mag. You've been a friend to Moorish Mag for a lot of time now, a long time. You've been on the show many times, and I wanted to talk to you today because you've recently come back from New Zealand. Is that called Aotearoa, right? Well, they call what the Maori call New Zealand? Aotearoa. No, not Aotearoa. Oh, shame.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just came back from over there. I attended Auckland to go before the Indigenous Wellbeing Conference, which was, you know, it opened my eyes to a lot of stuff, and just, you know, the Maori people over there, their culture and the way they go about life, you know, in general is just amazing.
Wow. Look, I'm really encouraged by the work you do, and congratulations to you and your fiancée, wife. You married yet or what?
Not married yet, no. We've just been...
yes, that's why you call fiancée. Yes, years, yep. So, good on you.
Yeah, so we've been looking at planning for next year. So
ah, lovely. Exciting. Lovely. Before we go to New Zealand, though, you're involved in business. And what was your product you were selling last night?
We've got our own little side business that we have. It's called Chartay Creations, and you know, Chartay came about. The name, firstly, is combined of our two daughters' names, so Charlie and Taya.
Lovely.
So, yeah, even though they don't help us out with the business, they're teenagers, but yeah, the business is named after them, and it was just around. Just myself and Roz, we do a bit of art in our spare time, and so we've turned that into our own fabric and our own, homeware stuff like water bottles and coffee mugs and that type of thing. So we like to get out to markets or get out and try and promote our stuff and, get our artwork out there as well. So,
wow. And that little pup. Come on, tell me about the pup. What sort of breed was the little pup?
So it's a Jack Russell. her name's Stitch. We got her for our son, Hudson, who's six. So he's his new, you know, little pet that he wanted so dearly. And, yeah, she's the life of the party wherever we take her now. So she's so small and everyone adores her. So, yeah, she's about 8 or 9 weeks old. But, yeah, everyone just... you know, attracts to her, and as you could see last night, yeah, everyone loves her.
Yeah. Okay, enough of the niceties and enough about the dog and the materials you've been selling. So good luck with the business. New Zealand, you attended an event. Tell us about the event. What was the aim of it, and how did you get to do a presentation, which I've been hearing some great things about?
It was the Indigenous Wellbeing Conference, so... it's held annually this time I was in New Zealand, and it brought together all services or Indigenous people across Australia, New Zealand, the Pacific Islands, and even some people from Canada come together, and they talk about just well-being or the services or stuff that's provided to Indigenous people across those areas. And this year I wrote an abstract on my journey, my personal journey, just where I come from through my childhood, all throughout my teenage years, and then also through my addiction period, and then back into recovery, and then now being so successful. So I put in an application to write an abstract and talk about my journey, and it was accepted. So I was able to go over there and, you know, put a presentation together and talk about my life story, you know, where I was and now where I am now, but also my ambitions and my passion for career success, but also my thoughts around supporting my community and trying to embrace the community, but also support community to become, you know, the strong mob that we are. So I've got a lot of, yeah, great response to my presentation. A few people come on, what was one of the best ones they've seen, which is, you know, it's encouraging for myself to know that I am on the right path in terms of wanting to inspire others to make a change and make a better life for themselves.
Wayne, look, you're an inspiration, and there's no doubt in my mind that people will listen to you. You know, as you say, you got a great response from people from all around the Pacific and even Canada. But so we'll come back to that. But can you tell me what was the common denominator with when we talk about well-being of Indigenous people? What is the major factor that people are heading towards, or what might their vision be in looking at healing and well-being of our First Nations peoples?
I think the conference itself was amazing to me. Like, and I think the most important thing that came out of it was the cultural ways of Indigenous people. I think going over and seeing how the Maori people practice culture, and they, you know, they embed culture into everything they do. You know, the first day we were over there, we went on a cultural experience on country, but also attending one of their marae's over there, and, you know, just seeing their culture firsthand and how they practice it and how they teach even language to the young kids, you know, and it's taught in everything that they do over there. So I think that was the main thing that came out for me, was the cultural side of things for Indigenous people and how they, you know, they practice out in everything they do within their life, and which also affects their well-being as a person.
So culture as in land, language, spirituality, I guess, is the stepping stone or the major blockage. So it's how we now want to create opportunities in the future. I just got to get you to explain, you said Maori. How do the Maori say? We better be culturally safe here.
Maori.
Because our Maori listeners, they might complain on 0405921921. Well, have a yarn to me, 0405921921. They're talking to Wayne Ryder, an inspiration to me. I've seen this man and the way he's developed, and he's working addiction. So he's been through some really challenging times, and it's just wonderful to have Wayne on the program. Okay, some more highlights from Auckland.
Yeah, I think I didn't actually get to really spend too much time, you know, outside of the conference. My eldest daughter graduated from year 12, and she had a graduation on the Friday night prior to me flying over, so I had to attend that and then quickly rush over back onto a flight over to Auckland. So I didn't spend too much time outside of the conference, which is...
Okay, now before you go any further, your daughter graduated year 12. Come on, give her a big shout out. What's her name?
Yeah, my eldest daughter, Shantaya, so she graduated year 12 at Chisholm Catholic College here in Perth.
Wow.
So, yeah, really proud of her and her achievements. And, you know, she's a lovely young lady, and she's very smart, and she's got ambitions, and she's got direction in where she wants to go, which I didn't have at her age of, you know, 17, 18, you know, so I'm very proud of her and what she's achieved, and looking forward to seeing what she can, you know, achieve in the future as well.
Wayne, and look, I had to go back because we didn't want to gloss over that important thing, your daughter graduating year 12. You know, that's not something that we can shy away from, because, so you know, kids now are starting to get through to year 12, and that's one of the building blocks for Close the Gap. So it's so great that your daughter, and I'm glad you gave her a big shout-out and to your family. Okay, what else can we talk about from... How is this now going to benefit your work? And I know Tony wants to say something in a tick. So how is the knowledge you gain from the cultural components of this conference, how will that impact on your work?
Well, two of our general managers from Palmerston were over there.
Wow.
And they watched me present, but they also came along to the conference, and it really opened their eyes as well around how they go about working with mob over there and the well-being of mob. So we're looking at implementing, you know, some of that stuff over here with the services that we provide with Palmerston within our rehab, or within our work that we do with community on the ground, or even in counselling and group work. So it has opened our eyes in terms of what we can achieve, but it also opened our eyes to how far we are behind, you know, in Australia, but also over here in Perth. So,
wow.
A lot of learnings and a lot of, you know, a lot of hard work ahead of us that we could try and implement over here. But we're looking forward to the challenge of trying to implement that stuff to improve, you know, the well-being of our mob.
No, that sounds really great, Wayne, and I was only just looking at your presentation, and I guess, you know, from our point of view and yours, you know, you've lived this experience, and you had to go through those struggles, you had to face all those challenges, and you stuck to those, to, you know, the commitment that you had, and your resilience helped you to get through that journey. And I think, you know, when I look at that and I see that, it's such a powerful tool that you're a young man that's lived this, and you've taken this journey on, and now you're inspiring other young people that are, you know, faced with the same challenges. And I think, you know, from our point of view, both Jim and I, you know, you're just a real strong inspirational to all young men and young women around our communities here today, and it's really inspiring. And I think, you know, credit to yourself, brother, that you're brave enough to stand up and talk about some of those personal demons that sort of held you back in those times, but now you've overcome them.
Yeah, thank you. Like, it's I always jump at the opportunity to tell my story. I think it is one that can inspire others, and that's my goal. Like, I want to try and, if I can just change the mindset of one person to get out of a struggling lifestyle and change their life around and, you know, get on the right path, then that's why I do it. That's what I look to achieve. So I don't shy away of, you know, telling the struggling part, because I think that's a... It needs to be told, and people need to hear, you know, that, you know, I did go through a stage of drug addiction. I did go through a stage of being homeless. But, you know, anyone can make a difference and change their lives and get back out and make a difference and be someone or be something that, you know, their family or their kids or whoever it is can be proud of them as being a person. And it's a community overall. I want to make a difference to our whole community. You know, at the moment I'm sitting... You know, in Armidale, in the Dale Street Mall, and looking, you know, there's 20 or 30 Aboriginal people here now. So we, you know, we're starting to implement work in the Armidale area and try and support the community here, try and make a difference. And it starts there, in building connection with that mob, you know, the mob that are struggling, you know, on the ground and need support. I know we're just dropped in a big ocean, but if we can try and make a little change, you know, one thing at a time, it makes a big impact later on in other people's lives.
We've been talking to Wayne Ryder. Wayne from Palmerston, they're doing some great work there, but it wasn't about his work really, it was about his, you know, he's standing in community now, he's got a really big response from international delegates at a international well-being conference. Wayne, I've got to congratulate you, Conk. So thank you so much for sharing, and no doubt you'll be back on radio again, because I want you to drag your bosses in, your CEO, and have a yarn, and so that we can talk more about the challenges you have So a big shout out to you and your family and your dog. I mean, your little dog. Yeah. So, Wade, thanks for being on the show, eh? Unless there's anything final you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to just give a shout out to the sponsors who supported me in getting over to New Zealand.
Right, yes, of course.
Firstly, you know, my organisation, Palmerston,
yes,
have been a massive support of myself and my journey. So, they've been amazing in terms of supporting me and where I'm at now. Shout out to UWA. I'm actually attending UWA now. Completing a Masters of Social Work, so doing that part time. So UWA was a sponsor of mine as well. Susan from Colt, she chucked in and, you know, gave us a bit of support there as well. And also Hugh Jones, the Labor Party out at Serpentine Jarrodale, and also Tony Booty, MPs down in Armidale. So they've supported me as well. So
good on you. Got, that's great.
You know, some massive support behind me in terms of getting over to New Zealand and presenting on, you know, my journey and you know, standing up and trying to inspire others to make a change as well. So there's a lot of people that can see the work that I'm doing. It's not just about myself and putting myself in the spotlight, but it's about, you know, trying to make a change within our community as well.
Good on you. Wayne, thank you so much for being on Woody's Mind. We look forward to yarning to you again sometime down the road, eh?
Yeah, definitely.
Keep up the great work, brother.
Okay. Welcome back to RTR FM, British Mag, Noongar Radio, and Great Southern FM in Menang Country. Yeah, you probably thought that was Tina Turner. No, it wasn't. It was Mitch Tambo singing in language there. A great song, a cover of Tina Turner. No, we don't normally play mainstream songs. We play First Nation songs, and we'll finish off the show today with another First Nation song. In fact, we only play First Nation music on Woody's Mag, eh, Tom?
No, definitely, and it's a good education for all of our listeners to hear what our mob are doing out there and acknowledge the great work they're doing, and music is part of their journey and healing and stories.
Yeah. So the best, if you like that, 0405921921, 0405921921. And also, if you want to stream to hear our amazing guest today, Wayne Ryder, Palmerston employee that just recently went to New Zealand and presented his life story of and challenges and got a great response, and people from Canada, Southern, South Pacific, and of course New Zealand and Australia, lots of people there talking about their challenges in the social emotional well-being world. So it was a pleasure to have those two. So keep an eye on the 9th of November, the Healing Day over at Wajumup, or you might know it as Rottnest, for all sorts of obvious reasons. Nearly 4,000 men and boys were taken. The biggest death in custody site in the country over there on Wajumup. So it's time to sort of to finish up here now. Don't say finish up, because there's a song called Finish Up. Finish Up has different sort of connotations for our mob. Finish Up is about, you know, Nautch being passing on to the spirit world.
Exactly.
So, great song that we haven't played for a while. We're going to close the show now, and hopefully you'll hear us next week here on RTR FM.